Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW Dynamite and NXT at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to give us a call, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Big news for the AEW this week as they absolutely destroyed NXT in the ratings. Huge win and a very meaningful one for AEW. And we're going to get into dissecting that a little bit as well as their show in a moment. And we'll also talk a little bit about what it means for NXT, why this happened. When NXT had a few weeks to develop their audience and, steal away some of the fans from AEW. But before we get started, a little bit of news to discuss, and that is there's a lot of talk about the tweet that CM Punk initially put out and then removed after the Miz's appearance on Backstage. Now there are people speculating, could this be a work? Well, this is CM Punk. It could be a work. It absolutely could be a work to just draw more attention to the show, which is a failing show. No one's watching this. And the reason no one is watching it, let's delve into that for a minute. The reason no one is watching Backstage is twofold. The first and foremost reason is there's enough wrestling without now having to watch analyzing wrestling. But two, you are taking literally a non-sport, a predetermined activity, and analyzing it. It's impossible to, how do you analyze it? How do you analyze that? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Without looking like an idiot. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Are you supposed to come in there and say, you know, the guy who played the preacher in the Lana and Bobby Lashley wedding really wasn't very good. He wasn't convincing. And, you know, I think that it was funny that Rusev couldn't get out of the cake. And I think Lana did overact. They're not going to say that. They don't mention any of the problems in Saudi Arabia. They didn't mention the people who got fired. The Jordan Miles incident was not mentioned. So they're not mentioning top issues. They're ignoring them. Therefore, people are just like, yeah, whatever. So they add CM Punk to the mix and say he's going to be on every so often in hopes that this is going to drive the ratings up. It really doesn't. And last week, a newly heel-turned Miz gets on the show, and at the end of the show has a segment where he basically says, I think this was the best Backstage show you guys have done. To which I believe it was Paige said, well, I don't know, the one we had Ember Moon on, that was a really good show. And the Miz says, well, excuse me that I didn't change the culture. Now, this is a knock on CM Punk, who when he was first introduced borrowed the Roddy Piper phrase and changed it a little bit when he said, just when you think you have all the answers, I change the culture. So the Miz, who's supposed to be a heel, takes a knock at CM Punk. Now, if CM Punk is in on this, and this is a work, I don't understand what the payoff is, because CM Punk says he doesn't want to come back to wrestling. We'll get into that in a minute. And if he does, I'm sure it's not going to be The Miz who's his first opponent. If it's not a work, CM Punk has lost his mind and has become literally a mark. Because anybody who's in the business, out of the business, can say, oh, it's just The Miz being The Miz. That's The Miz. You know, he says a lot of things that he says just for heel heat. I'm the greatest celebrity. Yeah, we all know he's not the greatest celebrity. The most must-see. We know. We all know that's, you know, hype. That's hyperbole. So when he says, excuse me, I didn't change the culture, Miz, you know, is just working. CM Punk's not working, I guess, because he's not involved in the pro wrestling game anymore, and yet apparently takes it to heart and sends a tweet that says the following. Go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dweeb. That's what it says. Now, I'm not sure it's a work, and I'll tell you why, because I don't think the WWE would love the blood money in Saudi Arabia reference. I don't think they'd like that at all. Number two, it was taken down almost instantaneously. So really, we are talking about it because people saw it, but it wasn't up for any length of time. So I don't know. I don't know if this is some kind of elaborate work or it's just CM Punk taking everything to heart. But you have to understand that this is a man who, in my opinion, and if you're a regular listener to this show, you probably know this is no secret. I'm not a fan. I think he is average to a little slightly below average in the ring. And yes, he's a good talker. But he also takes every single solitary thing personally. What's my evidence, you say? Okay, well, I'll tell you. CM Punk comes up with a statement that says, yeah, AEW made me not a real offer because it was just a tweet. I don't consider, you know, I mean, an email. I don't consider an email or a text a serious offer. Well, I don't know. He says that was insulting that they didn't call me in. Well, I don't know, because Cody Rhodes says, I don't know what you're talking about. You met with Tony Khan face to face. An offer was laid down. So I don't know what you're talking about. Guess who I believe? Okay, maybe initially they contacted him by a text or an email and said, would you even be remotely interested before we go further with this? That's an insult? Well, then you're very sensitive. You're extraordinarily sensitive. And that's probably not a good thing to be if you're in the professional wrestling game or even if you're analyzing it, because, again, CM Punk has proven to be a lousy analyzer even. In one stage of the game, he says, oh, this part of this was just horrible. This was terrible. And yet he's okay with the wedding. He's okay with the dog food incident. What are we talking about then? He doesn't really understand. He doesn't seem to understand that he's the guy who rubbed Paul Bearer's ashes in the Undertaker's face. Oh, that wasn't corny? That wasn't ridiculous? He's the guy who was going to lay hands on a guy who had a heart attack. That wasn't corny? That wasn't ridiculous? So I don't know, but I know this, and again, I'm sure 90% of you listening to the sound of my voice are going to think I'm crazy. I'd take The Miz over CM Punk any day of the week, because at the end of the day, the little bit that CM Punk brings to the table with his controversial pipe bombs, he's already got his ass kicked twice in a UFC ring and proving he's no tough guy. So his reputation of I'm a real badass is gone. It's gone. Okay? He lost to two guys that half of the guys I know in bar fights could probably beat. Guys with records of nothing. One guy flat out takes him out in under a minute, and the other guy just toyed with him because he was told, don't finish him off real quick or we're going to really lose a lot of money here. So he just toyed with him and toyed with him and toyed with him. Could have finished him off in 10 seconds. So he's no real fighter. He's no real badass. And now it's been proven that a lot of his words and the things he says is hollow. Remember when he said, I will never under any circumstances ever work for the WWE. I am done with wrestling. Everyone involved in wrestling is stupid. Wrestling itself is stupid. Fans who watch wrestling are stupid. And now he's back there analyzing it. And saying, well, if they put a big bag of money on the table, I might wrestle again. Really? I thought you said money wasn't the object. I thought you said, no, no, it's my pride. I'll never do this again. It's a fake, horrible, ridiculous exhibition that I will never get involved in again. And then here's your ass doing it again. So spare me the sanctimonious bullshit, okay? Spare me the holier-than-thou bullshit. You're a dude who got lucky. And you don't even realize it because you think you've earned it all. You've earned it all how? Nobody knew your name till the WWE signed you. And now you want to bite the hand that feeds you and say, oh, everything I did there was horrible garbage. Well, it's the only thing you're known for. And now you're going to tweet out some ridiculous stuff like that. If Fox won fired him, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't care. Did he bring the ratings up for all the money you gave him? Oh, the savior of the world is coming to save our ratings. And it went up by about, oh, I don't know, 10,000 people the first night and the second appearance. It actually went down. It actually went down. He didn't save anything. Nobody cares. Because you've proven yourself to be a hypocrite. You've proven yourself to be a liar. You've proven yourself to be an overly sensitive creep. And you've stabbed your best friend in the back. Even Colt Cabana won't talk to him because he threw him under the bus. So there you go. That's my feeling. I don't know whether this is a work. The only part of me that think this might be a work is because what better setup in the world could there possibly be than Brock Lesnar entering the Royal Rumble number one and CM Punk being the guy that throws him out. Both are Paul Heyman guys. What would happen then? Where would Paul Heyman's loyalties lie? If they decided they're going to fight each other at WrestleMania, and would that be a big payday? Yes. As much as I do not like CM Punk, as much as I think he's a subpar wrestler with a really bad attitude and a hypocritical liar, would I book that match if I was Vince McMahon? Yes. Because it will make a ton of money. Now you just got to convince CM Punk to do it. And maybe they have. Because money talks. We already know CM Punk has a threshold. I will never, ever, ever, ever do something again. How much money? Let me put on the clown hat. That's CM Punk's moral value. Show me enough zeros, and I will belong to the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club, I guess. So anyway, that's the tweet he sent out, Mike. What do you think? A work, or you think it's CM Punk just being overly sensitive?
It could be a little bit of both, but I don't know, because, you know, CM Punk, after all, look, I have a pastor, an ex-pastor, who used to say that hell is full of hypocrites. Okay? And look, CM Punk is a hypocrite and has been a hypocrite for a while. And basically, he turned his wife or girlfriend or wife into a hypocrite at time. And so, I mean, he's basically poisoned. Now, would I book that match? Would I do that whole scenario with him and Brock Lesnar in a heartbeat? But
yep.
that doesn't say that he's still not a hypocrite.
No, and it doesn't say that he's still not poisoned. It just says that for that WrestleMania match, that would make a huge amount of money, and it would. Todd, I don't know if you heard about the tweet. What do you think? Do you think it's CM Punk playing along with The Miz a little bit, or do you think it's CM Punk actually getting annoyed with The Miz?
I think it's a little bit of both there. Like Mike said, like he said about dragging AJ Lee down with them. well. Like you said, I don't really like CM Punk. I don't like him as a wrestler, but as a talker on the mic, I like him on the mic. But as a wrestler, no, I don't. He's highly overrated as a wrestler too, and I just don't care for it.
Yeah, listen, there are a lot of people. You love what you love, okay? If you love CM Punk and you think he's great in the ring, fine. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you, as for my taste, I don't feel that way. I've watched a lot of CM Punk matches when he was the big deal in the WWE, and I never thought there was one that was like, oh, my God, what a great, fantastic match. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Okay. So what do you think?
CM Punk, I never liked CM Punk. I don't think he's a good wrestler. I never thought he was a good talker. I just thought he was just bitching just to keep himself relevant. And that's exactly what he's doing now. He was irrelevant. He joined the UFC. He got his ass kicked by nobodies who are even more irrelevant than he was. And now he's, I'll never wrestle again. And guess what? I'll never have anything to do with the WWF again. And there he is, because they're giving him, how much money to sit on his ass and yap his trap.
Well, the thing that bothered me, Tom, is not only did he take the gig, which is technically not working for the WWE, it's working for Fox, but still, it's working for Fox analyzing the WWE. I thought you hated wrestling. I thought that you said wrestling is stupid and anyone who watches it is stupid, and I'll never, ever, ever lower myself to go back to that crapola again. So now you're just going to lower yourself to analyzing what's good and bad about it?
Yeah, he's a giant hypocrite, and he's only doing it for the money. So, and as for the tweet, a friend of mine actually showed me the tweet, and it's, we all know what happened in Saudi Arabia. We all thought it was, horrible. Did something good come out of it? I suppose it jumped the ratings of NXT. Okay, so great. But, what was the point? Can you just leave it alone? Can you just let the, let the horrible thing that happened in Saudi Arabia, just let it go?
Well, here's the thing. I can understand him saying, Saudi Arabia's blood money. We've said it ourselves. But do you think the Miz is in a position to say, I refuse to go? I don't believe that. Number two, it seems you'll do anything for money. Here you are sitting on a Fox sports panel talking about a activity you claim you'd never, ever, ever go back to. So, and saying, if somebody wants to give me a bag load of money, I might be convinced to wrestle again. I don't see it happening, but I might be. So what's that? It may not be blood money, but it's still hypocritical money. It's still taking the money. So what are you saying? Are you saying, hey, money talks, and if you show me enough money, I'll do whatever? Or are you saying no money is not the be-all and live-all, and I will not sacrifice my principles for it? Because CM Punk, you've sacrificed your principles for it. So if The Miz did the same thing, aren't you a little hypocritical calling The Miz out on it? It's just stupid. It's stupid, and it makes my head hurt because I really don't care anymore about CM Punk. He's a 40-something dude who had marginal – I'm going to tell you right now. I sat live in the audience when I didn't know CM Punk from a bag of rocks. When he first came in, he was doing the ECW thing for WWE, and watched him have a match that damn near put me to sleep. And I didn't have any axe to grind with him at the time because I didn't even know who the hell he was. And I turned to the guys that were with me and I said, yeah, that guy's boring. He's a boring wrestler. And then I heard him on TV and I'm like, well, he's not boring on the mic, but he's boring in the ring. And he was, and he is. And a ton of his credibility came from, well, I'm a serious jujitsu badass. Well, you've lost that. You risk it because you started believing your own hype. That would be like Braun Strowman saying, I'm entering the World's Strongest Man contest because I tipped over an ambulance. Yeah, well, no, you didn't. And then when you get your ass kicked and guys half your size actually outpower you, you can't come back to the WWE and say, I'm the strongest man in the world. Well, no, actually, you're not, because we've watched people half your size outlift you. Don't push those buttons. don't believe your own hype. Because when you start believing your own hype and then reality smacks you in the ass, it breaks the illusion. I can't tell you how many CM Punk fans were saying, nah, you know, in real life, he could kick all these guys' asses. He's a jiu-jitsu expert, and he could go into UFC tomorrow and be a top-level fighter. And he had him convinced. He had him convinced. And that's fine, because that's what wrestlers do. I have no problem with that. That's what wrestlers do. They convince you they're tougher than 90% of the population. But then you don't expose that by saying, hey, I think I really am. And then you get into the ring with some kid who's so wet behind the ears, he doesn't even have proper ring wear, and get your ass tapped out in 40 seconds. And then get toyed with in a way that was, I can only describe as extraordinarily humiliating. Go back and watch the second fight where announcers are literally saying, look, what is he doing? He had him down. He did this. He's doing that. It's almost like he's not even trying to beat him. Yeah, he wasn't trying to beat him. He was trying to stretch out the fight because he did not want this fight to be a 30-second fight because somebody told him, don't make this fight a 30-second fight. When someone comes to you and says, hey, so-and-so, make sure this fight goes a round or two. What are they telling you? They're telling you, this guy has no chance of beating you at all. You control this entire fight. We're throwing him to the wolves. You just stretch him out a little bit. That's what they're telling you. So they had no faith that CM Punk was going to win anything. So then he comes back with his tail between his legs and says, I suck. I'm not as tough as I thought I was, but I'm still the greatest wrestler. Well, no. Then AEW says, look, we tried to work with a guy. He's a putz. He's insulting. He's rude. He's a liar. He claims we didn't meet with him. We did. We clearly did. And the last time I heard anything from AEW, they basically said, look, we're kind of just moving on from CM Punk. We don't want any of this. That's very smart. It's very smart because they figured it out. They figured out, look, this is poison. Anyway, folks, let's get to the crux of the matter because AEW absolutely destroyed NXT this week. It's 950,000 approximately to a little over 700,000. There's 200,000 plus difference, close to 250,000 difference. And this is coming off a week where AEW didn't put on any show, so NXT had all the ratings. Then a week where NXT kind of took off and just did a best of year-end award type thing, so they weren't expected to do anything. So this is the only one that really counted. And what it shows me, and I was worried about it, I said, well, we'll see when AEW comes back. If their ratings are 450,000, 500,000, they're done. Because that means while they were off for the holidays, not worried at all about NXT, NXT was able to captivate the audience enough so the audience says, I think I'm just going to go ahead and watch NXT. Didn't happen. It did not happen. So this is very worrisome for NXT. And I'll tell you why it's worrisome. Because it means there's no one there that has the star power to draw a casual audience. And that the people who are wanting the indie sort of feel to their wrestling is choosing AEW above NXT. So if you're a Vince McMahon and you're sitting there saying, I thought Adam Cole had all the charisma in the world. How come we can't get, how come we can't beat AEW? I thought Matt Riddle was the ultimate bro and everyone was going to line up and worship at his altar. How come nobody cares about him? I thought Keith Lee was the second coming and we put him in a four-way match for the title and it doesn't outdraw what they're doing over on AEW. What's going on? The only time NXT enjoyed a big, huge rating boost was right after the Survivor Series when they were exposed to the main brand. So we can say all we want. And by the way, NXT put on a much better show than AEW this week. I don't think it was close. AEW show was good. NXT's was takeover quality again almost. They have been. Didn't matter. So numbers don't lie. I was having this discussion with someone the other day about a very different thing than professional wrestling. And I said, numbers don't lie. The numbers are the numbers. If they don't add up, somebody did something wrong, because the numbers don't lie. And the numbers say more people are watching AEW by far. Now, they threw in the beginnings of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. They threw in the four-man top contender for the Northeast American title. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. So now if you're over there, you got to say to yourself, how come Finn Balor isn't drawing more eyes? How come Adam Cole isn't drawing more eyes? How come Keith Lee isn't drawing more eyes? How come Johnny Gargano or Tommaso Ciampa, how come they're not drawing more eyes? What's the problem? Because the shine is kind of off AEW. You can't fall back and say, well, they're the new brand, so people are giving them. They're not the new brand anymore. So people are still more interested in what's going on there. And what went on is as follows. Hangman Page, Kenny Omega went over a private party. We had the little thing with Pac at the end. Is that a huge, major draw? I would think no. They put the belt on Rhea Ripley last week, and then she's going to have her big, speech at the beginning, and then all the women come out. And by the way, when all these women are out in the ring in NXT, I'm saying to myself, wow, look at all the number one contenders. WWE has none for their women's division. And NXT has all of these girls. I'm looking at them saying, yup, wow. Look how many people they promoted as possibly being the number one contender for this belt. And one of them wasn't even Shayna Baszler. So, I mean, wow. They got quite a division over there. Nobody cared. They'd rather watch Hangman Page and Kenny Omega fight Private Party. That's a major problem for the WWE and NXT. That's a major problem. This isn't just a fly-by-night one-deal type deal. Oh, AEW put on an extraordinarily good match, and so it stole the show. No, they opened up with this match. That's not an extraordinarily good match or an extraordinarily interesting match. And you can't even say that Jon Moxley's reveal of whether he's going to go with the Inner Circle was the reason, because viewership actually dropped off during that segment. So it wasn't the case. So, Mike, I'm not sure what's causing this, but this has got to be a major concern to the WWE.
This has got to be a major concern. And look, let's dig a little bit deeper into these ratings. And I'm looking at it here, and AEW, among the key demographic of 18 to 49, was sixth in all television shows, whereas NXT, in that very same demographic, 55th.
I mean, that's not close,
so
Mike.
You tell me. So not even close. So I mean that demographic is what we've been talking about for a while, on this show right here. That demographic,
yep.
That is, I would assume that includes you, me, Tom, Todd, Sabretooth when he's available and all that stuff. I would assume it includes everybody in on this call. So, yeah, they just blew them away. And like you said, and we'll get into that old Jon Moxley deal late in a little while, because I have thoughts on that. But that demographic says it all.
That's a stunning demographic. And that, if you got to be worried. I mean, I know they're going to put on a happy face, and they're going to say, oh, it's 1 week, next week could change. And could it? Of course it could. But I don't think it's likely, because I think what we're seeing here is a certain amount of wrestling fans. You got to figure that WWE draws what? A million and, probably close to 2 million. So say between 1.7 million and 2 million for their SmackDown and Raw. Sometimes a little more. Well, if you add up both the AEW numbers and the NXT numbers, that's close to it. You're talking about 1.6 million, 1.7 million. So that's close. So that means the very people who are watching the WWE most likely are divided in AEW and NXT, and they're going for AEW. Now, I had somebody say, and it may not be so far-fetched, no matter how different NXT is, it's still a WWE product, and it still has the same feel, the same smell, the same air, where AEW doesn't, so it comes off feeling fresher. So it's almost like, let me describe it this way. I love pizza. And I have my favorite pizza shops where I say, I really, really, really crave a pizza from this shop. But there are times when I just want a frozen pizza. Not because it's better, but because that's what I'm in the mood for. Because it doesn't taste the same. It's not the same. It's almost like it's a different food. I could go get a Pizzeria Pizza, or I could go get a Red Baron. It's not the same thing. And sometimes I'm just in the mood for a Red Baron. So maybe wrestling fans, after being exhausted by, you know, Raw, are just saying, look, SmackDown's on in a day or two. I'm just going to go for AEW. And NXT I can catch up with on the network if they have the network. So, you know, Tom, I think it could be just that. But at the same time, NXT has made no bones about the fact they want to win this ratings war. So what does that say about their roster?
To be honest with you, I think AEW's ratings this week were not. I think they were. I think they were botched a little bit because, quite honestly, Marcus, I watched the NXT show and I watched the AEW show, and You're right, NXT put on a way better show.
Yeah,
I don't understand how AEW can win by that big of a margin. Because honestly, AEW to me was boring. Even the Jonny Moxley spot was.
I didn't find it boring, but I just think that it was. I could understand them winning. Fans didn't see it for a week or so, and they were, you know, well, this is going to be big. There's a Jon Moxley announcement. What's going to happen? But not by those numbers. The numbers that Mike just gave us, that's staggering. That's staggering. But here's the things that the WWE is going to have to accept, or NXT as a brand is going to have to accept. Some of your guys are not mainstream enough. I know you all thought we're going to bring up Matt Riddle and he's going to be the hero of the 18 to 26 crowd. Wrong. You know, 1980s call, they want their gimmick back. Who runs around being like, bro, I'm a pothead, man. I'm bro, man, bro. I'm so stoned, man. Wow. Now, who does that? Who does that? Nobody cares. Is he a top-level star? Is he a main eventer? Absolutely not. He's not even a main eventer in NXT at this stage. People are pushing Keith Lee to the top. I love Keith Lee. Met Keith Lee many times personally and saw him many times personally. And again, I'm one of the people who told him to his face, you're going to be gone from the indies soon, as soon as Vince McMahon gets wind of you. But fans are already knowing, we already know the deal. He's going to get, fast-tracked directly to the main card. So why get excited about him in NXT? He's not going to be here that long. You got guys like Dijakovic, Damian Priest. They're not exciting to your normal fan base. They're just not. I thought Adam Cole would be a draw. Undisputed era in themselves, but maybe that's getting old because this is not good numbers. Those demographics that Mike gave us, that, I mean, wow. AEW sixth, WWE in the 50s. NXT in the 50s. Todd, that is absolutely not a good sign.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's not a good sign right there. Like you said, AEW is, like, higher right now in the ratings with over WWE. And like you said, with Keith Lee, you're going to see him on the main roster soon. There's a lot of things going on, and the WWE need to get fixed as well.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, the WWE is killing NXT. I mean, the WWE is killing both NXT and AEW in the ratings. It's not close. Raw and SmackDown are blowing them both away. They're blowing them away one show to their both. So that's not close. But NXT should not be losing by this much. I mean, if you said to me AEW drew 900 plus thousand and NXT drew 800 plus thousand, I'd say, you know, that's fine. It's about the same, really. Give or take 80 to 100,000 people, it's whatever. And you could also explain that extra 100,000 by saying, well, if you have the network, you can see NXT anyway, so what's the big deal? But people choosing to watch AEW live over NXT live in those numbers, that's not just people who are saying, I'm going to watch the network, because what's the network got, a million something subscribers? You're going to tell me a third of them are watching AEW and just watching NXT on the replay? I don't believe that. So AEW has clearly won this week. Clearly won. Because numbers don't lie. So as much as Tom or I or Mike or Todd can sit here and say, we don't understand it, and I truthfully don't, it's still a fact. So Riho over Stratlander with a little of interference from Awesome Kong. You know, the women's division in AEW, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's not close to NXT. It's not even as good as WWE, either one of the brands of WWE. Guevara went over Daniels with a little interference from Pentagon Jr., who came out and distracted Daniels. The Jurassic Express went over the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. MJF and obviously DDP, they had a good exchange, which led to the Butcher and the Blade coming out, and then, of course, Dustin and QT coming out to make the save. It looks like we'll probably see some sort of a six-man there involved. Using Dustin in any way with MJF is probably a really good idea, because it just furthers the Cody thing, so that's good. Later, Cody and Dustin defeated the Lucha Bros, which is another good idea, because it shows Cody and Dustin's unity, so that if MJF does something to Cody, which he's going to do, then it just furthers the blood feud. So that's a good idea. As far as the Jon Moxley thing, well, we got a double swerve, didn't we? We got Moxley tearing off his jacket to show the Inner Circle t-shirt, and Jericho celebrating, only to be told, I'm only kidding, your stupid faction sucks, and getting his ass beat. It was fun, and for a second I said, well, see, here's the beauty of AEW to a certain extent. In WWE, had that happened, I would have said, there is no doubt in my mind that Jon Moxley is bluffing. He's not really going with the Inner Circle. Wait for it. It's coming. Wait for it. It's coming. Up. Oh, told you. Because WWE is really easy to read. AEW, I wasn't 100% sure. I said, maybe they will go this direction. I don't know. Maybe they're really going to stack this Inner Circle. And maybe they figure Moxley would be better this way. They've got enough faces, so maybe they're figuring, hey, let's put Moxley as a heel. So it was a swerve to a certain extent. I had a feeling he might be bluffing, but I wasn't 100% sure. And, Mike, that's the beauty of AEW, is you're not really 100% sure what they'll pull.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, now, I was kind of more positive, because again, I go I go back to what you just said. It would be stacking the deck, and I don't know if they particularly want to appear to be stacking the deck for any side, if it's the Elite or if it's the Inner Circle. And as far as the whole Dustin Rhodes thing, I mean, we talked about the handcuffs being off or being, you know, in the WWE. When was the last time you saw Dustin Rhodes pull off a destroyer?
Yeah, right.
You know, that's something we've never seen before, you know. And that's another thing that I think that that it has over NXT is that from time to time, it gives you things that you don't see before, AEW.
Yeah, I can buy that. Now, AEW's got some work to do. I mean, Jim Ross is – I don't know what the hell the deal is with Jim Ross. I think they may be having a little buyer's remorse on Jim Ross, who says some nasty things about him off the air. Calls him AWE on the air. Doesn't even know what brand he's working for. I don't know what's wrong with Jim Ross. Some people have written me and said, what do you think? I'm not overly impressed. He acts like a guy who's mailing it in for the money. He acts like, well, you paid me, I'll do what I can. I don't like it, but I'll do what I can. That's what he comes up with to me. So look, I mean, AEW put on what I consider to be a good show. If there was no competition, I would say, well, this was a good show. Of course, they're going to get good ratings. They're putting on a quality show. But for the last, well, not last week because it was a special episode, but for the last 3 weeks prior to that, NXT's been putting on takeover quality shows. So all of the wrestling fans who said, well, if these AEW fans really paid attention to takeovers, they wouldn't be AEW fans because takeover blows it away. Well, I may agree with you. But the fans are not doing that because they got their taste of it. Now, I had some people write me and say, you know where you're going wrong, Marcus? They're not the same fans. WWE doesn't have to worry about AEW fans. They just have to worry, why aren't SmackDown and Raw fans watching NXT? That could be. There may be not as much crossover as we think. Maybe only like a couple of 100,000 WWE fans are really watching the AEW. Maybe they're just saying, you know, this is our crowd. This is the crowd that don't watch the WWE, or at least don't watch NXT. And the WWE's more got to worry about why are we not getting fans that like Raw and SmackDown to watch NXT. Well, if you're smart, you'll put the NXT guys in the Rumble, because you need more exposure. When you did that in the Survivor Series, you got a ratings boost, didn't you, on NXT. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to understand that some of these guys that are big dogs down in NXT aren't going to be big dogs as far as the ratings are concerned. There are a lot of people who thought Matt Riddle was the answer. He's not going to be a big ratings boost. He's just not going to be. I'm sorry. I'm not telling you he's a bad wrestler. I'm just telling you the whole gimmick, the whole whatever, it's not working. It's not going over with a majority of the crowd. It's just going over with that small minority of like indie mentality fans. It's not enough. That's why Finn Balor didn't work. Finn Balor was going to be the second coming in the WWE. Oh, my God, Finn Balor is here. Give him the belt. Give him the tag team belts. Give him the Intercontinental belt. Give him the keys to the kingdom. He wasn't drawn. Elias stumbles up from NXT where nobody even cared about him, and he was getting an entire audience behind him. Tens of thousands of people. He was nothing in NXT. It's a different feel. Elias had the larger brand feel to him that hardcore NXT fans aren't really big on. But WWE fans want that larger-than-life persona. They don't want a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure wannabe. They don't want a 5'3", 145-pound guy. They don't want it. And they're not going to be force-fed it either. They'll just go to AEW and watch that. So anyway, Rhea Ripley has her little speech celebration. It's interrupted by Toni Storm, and then it's interrupted by everybody. And like I said, the women's division is very... Toni Storm said after she wins the UK title, she's coming after Rhea Ripley. What a match that would be. There's a lot going on in the women's division. I don't understand why that would be something that fans don't think is as good as Paige and Omega versus Private Party, but okay. Obviously we had Keith Lee win versus Dominik Dijakovic and Grimes and Damian Priest. So now he's the number one contender for Roderick Strong's title. We had the Dusty Rhodes Classic kick off with, Imperium versus the UK. First it was Imperium and the Forgotten Sons. Okay, that's not a good match. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a drop-off there. It wasn't a bad match. It's not a high-profile match. Neither was Mia Yim versus Caden Carter. That was just a squash match. Austin Fury, that was a squash match. But the Undisputed Era versus Gallus, that's a UK champion, tag team champions, versus the American tag team champions. That's a big match. And we got no ratings boost. There was no ratings boost during that match. So what are we to feel? Whatever was happening at AEW at that time was compelling enough they didn't switch over, even though they said, wait a minute, the NXT UK champions are taking on the NXT American champions, tag team champions. Oh, well, we'll just continue to watch this. That doesn't speak well of the Undisputed Era or their ability to draw with a large percentage of the audience. See, remember, Bo Dallas was like the hottest thing, remember? In NXT? Every fan was chanting it, believe, and all this kind of stuff. And man, it was over like gangbusters. It was over so much they said, God, when we bring him to the WWE, this guy, sky's the limit. Where is he? It didn't work. It doesn't work with a larger audience because you don't have just those hard core diehard wrestling fans. You have casual wrestling fans who said, I think this is stupid and I don't like it. That's your problem. So while this show was an excellent show, I was highly entertained by NXT, and I was also entertained by AEW, but if you want me to match them up, I don't think it was that close, Mike. I think NXT put on a better show.
Right, but as we said earlier, numbers don't lie. The numbers say that AEW was the better show. Numbers don't lie, you know?
And, no, they don't.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you're right. When you've got, and plus, and to add with the women's deal in NXT, even after we found out that one of the women got hurt, you know, it's still a better division than AEW, but nobody cares about them. You know, I mean, you got Toni Storm, who I loved her in the Mae Young Classic. I still really, really like her. And none of these women were our friends from the Queen of Spades. You know, none of them were that girl. And we know where she's going. Yeah, we know where she's going to end up pretty soon. They're going to bring her up, you know.
I don't know how desperate the WWE is going to get. But I would not be surprised if we start to see other WWE performers hit NXT and vice versa on a regular basis. Interpromotional. I don't know how they're going to pull this off when they say, well, it's Raw is Raw and SmackDown, SmackDown's two different things, and then you're going to have NXT be able to float everywhere. I don't know how you can pull that off. But the proof is in the pudding, because like Mike said, the numbers do not lie. So if anyone on that show, Rhea Ripley, Undisputed Era, Keith Lee, any of those people were that big of a draw, then they would have drawn. And they didn't. These are big matches. It's a big match for Undisputed Era. Dusty Rhodes Classic, and they're not in easy. This is the moment everybody who's a Keith Lee fan wants to see. Is he going to be able to be the number one contender? Is he going to get by everybody? And he did. These are the moments. These are the payoff moments. These aren't like warm-up moments. These are the payoff moments. And if you're not tuning in for the payoff moments, you're sure as hell not going to tune in for the beginning of the story. So I think NXT's got to realize they're suffering from a lack of what I would call commercial viability. They need a face, and I don't mean a face like a face and a heel. I mean a face of the company that has drawing power. They need someone to lead that company, to be the champion, to be whatever, that has major drawing power. It's not Adam Cole. If it was Adam Cole, then you would have the draw. It's not. NXT fans love Adam Cole. I like Adam Cole. He's not a draw. He's not a big enough draw. Not when you can have, you know, the likes of Hangman Page and Kenny Omega in a tag team match outdraw him. Not when you can have the likes of, Nightmare, whatever they're called, outdraw them. Sorry, but that's just the cold, hard fact. So now you've got to take a hard look at your roster and say, who do we have that will entice fans to watch them? Not because they're so great in the ring necessarily, not because they're a five-star wrestler, but because they have charisma and people want to watch them. You better find somebody, because apparently right now you don't have it. As much as I like all these people, there's no bigger Keith Lee fan than me. But the bottom line of the situation is facts are facts. Numbers are numbers. If he's not drawing in NXT, there's a reason. NXT fans love him. So how come he's not drawing in the casual fans? How come people who say, well, yeah, I like wrestling, but I think I'll tune over here because Chris Jericho's over here and he's very charismatic, or John Moxley's over here and he's very charismatic, or Dustin Rhodes is over here and I like him, or MJF is, I got to see what he's doing because he's very charismatic. Where's the charismatic? Where's the people who draw you away from something else? Because the numbers Mike gave clearly shows this. Even if they didn't watch AEW, they still didn't watch NXT. Some of those younger demographics watched other things besides wrestling. They didn't even make the choice to watch other wrestling. They just didn't watch wrestling. So you're going to have to come up with a couple of those characters. Guess who's not it? Finn Balor's not it. Told you for years he's not it. He's not it. Tommaso Ciampa is the exact type of guy I like. Old school. Plays by the old school rules. Great in the ring. Great on the mic. He cut two great promos. He's the type of guy I like. But your average casual wrestling fan, probably not. Nobody's saying, oh, I wonder what's going to happen with Tommaso Ciampa, unless you're of that ilk. That's what made Hulk Hogan so successful. There were people who didn't really give a spit about anybody else in wrestling, but they cared about Hulk Hogan. Or they cared about Roddy Piper. That's what made them so huge. That's what made them such huge stars. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, same way. Do you think in a million years that if it was in the heyday where The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin was around and AEW came up with their, well, we're going to have Dustin Rhodes and we're going to have Y2J and forget it. Your ratings are going to be zero. because those guys had all that charisma and all of that casual fan support. We're not seeing that, I don't think, Mike. Let me go to Todd. We're not seeing that, Todd, from the NXT roster right now.
No, you're not. No, you haven't. We haven't seen anything like that on the NXT roster as of right now. Well, like you said, I like Tommaso Ciampa. He reminds me of, like, old school, like doing like old school thing, like old school look, playing.
Yep.
and that's what I like, and I like the old school booking.
So do I. But again, for the numbers, we have got to find, or the WWE's got to find somebody, Mike, who can draw fans away and say, oh, I got to see what's happening with this guy.
Right. And that's the thing. And look, it's not like, you know, basically TNT and TBS, that's the only wrestling show they have is AEW. That's it. It's not like you can go, you know, USA with NXT and Raw, and then Fox with SmackDown. It's not like that, you know. And I mean, yeah, at one time on TNT and TBS, you had Thunder and Nitro, but that was when everything was hunky dory and everything was drawing ratings at that point. Everything's not drawing ratings right now. And
no.
It's like you said, it's the people. Even with the fact that you've got we all agree that that whole Nightmare Collective thing is a poor gimmick, but people are actually tuning in to see
right.
how poor a gimmick it is.
That's
know?
True. That's very true. It's not lost on me that the WWE did some of their highest ratings with the Lana Lashley ridiculous wedding. We said it was horrible, and it was. But you know what? People were casually interested. So more people tuned in. There's only a select amount of wrestling fans that say, I tune in because I want to see five-star matches. I want to see real good athleticism, and I want to see hard-fought, well-constructed matches. Okay. I'm with you. I'm one of them. But there's also a large percentage of people that say, I miss wrestling when it used to be this way, where there was outrageous things happening every week, and it was like a giant, it was a cross between the Jerry Springer Show and UFC, where, oh my God, this happened and that happened, and there's, you know, all kinds of stuff going on, and cars are blowing up, and people are being arrested, and people are this and that. Sometimes that draws in the casual viewer who says, well, I'm not a huge, huge wrestling fan, but I like it when it's like this. It's fun when it's like this. Well, NXT's not like that. AEW really isn't either. But AEW is surviving on those other fans. And those other fans that just want the, you know, the top-notch action. And they don't really care too much about Jerry Springerville. They don't need. You know, if they can do close to a million, that's all they need. I'm sure they want more. They want more, but they don't need more. NXT, that's embarrassing to them because they put on the best they could do. If this had to happen and it was their year-end award show, I'd be like, well, whatever. That's actually a victory for NXT because if they can even come close within 200,000 of a live show when they're doing an award show, what does that tell you? But it wasn't. This was the beginning of one of their big events, the Dusty Rhodes Classic. This was a major event with who's going to be the number one contender. There was all kinds of angles and things that are furthering and even some payoffs to angles. And this should have been one of their top-rated shows. And AEW totally stole their thunder. They totally stole their thunder. And it's not arguable. They did it. So now if you are Vince McMahon, Triple H, whoever, you've got to take a hard look at your roster and say, what is it that we are not doing? What is it that we can do better? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not the wrestling. It's not the in-the-ring wrestling. The in-the-ring wrestling is fantastic. It's not what you're doing in the ring. It's the pomp and circumstances. It's the pageantry that's missing. It's that casual fan who says, I don't watch a lot of wrestling, but I sort of like this. You've got to bring those people back in. Quite a few years ago, when ECW was in its heyday, Paul Heyman's ECW, and it was on Madison Square Garden at like midnight. A friend of mine who had always been a wrestling fan and had given up on it for about 5 years, I convinced to watch one episode. I said, just do me a favor, just watch one episode. He reluctantly said, okay, but I'm not a wrestling fan anymore. I'm not going to dig it. It's not going to be my thing. He called me up the next day and said, my God, I'm hooked. I'm totally hooked. I can't even wait for the next episode. I barely could fall asleep. My adrenaline was flowing so high. It pulled him back in the fold. Because of the violence, yes, part of it, and the brutality of it, but also because of the nicheness of it. There was like a feel to it. Like it was one big club of, it was something unique and interesting and different, and there was a lot of bizarre stuff going on, as well as some very hardcore action and things. WWE needs to understand that NXT has to be more than a really, really, really good indie if you don't want it to be just an indie deal. So they're going to have to bring more pageantry into it. I know a lot of NXT fans are going to say, this is what we don't want. No, no. It's exactly what we don't want. Well, if you want NXT to survive and not just get eaten up like 205 Live is being, you're going to have to accept some of it to get some of the stuff you do want. Because it's got to reach a wider audience than this. Because I'm telling you right now, if they continue to lose to AEW by 200,000 plus people, this is going to be a major problem. You know, a few weeks ago, we're predicting AEW might actually move their days if they continue to get pounced on like this by the NXT roster. Now it looks like NXT might have to put their tail between their legs and say, maybe we'll move the day. That would be considered a humiliating, crushing defeat for Vince McMahon and company. And the roster can't do anything about it. They're putting on top quality matches. They're wrestling their heart out. They're doing everything they're supposed to do. Now it's up to management to say, we've got to find some people with a huge amount of drawing power. It's not enough to be a good wrestler. You have to have drawing power of some kind. You have to. And right now, I'm not seeing a lot of guys on the roster who has what I call legitimate drawing power. Does AEW? Well, yeah, they do have some. Y2J has legitimate drawing power. John Moxley has legitimate drawing power. A couple others have drawing power. Not as much as, you know, obviously as even a Brock Lesnar. You know, Brock Lesnar shows up, he's going to get more people in the building than John Moxley. But they still have drawing power. But Brock Lesnar is my perfect example. I don't like Brock Lesnar as a champion. I don't like Brock Lesnar. I think to a large extent he's a poison for wrestling, as far as everyone has to bow down to him. He's better than everybody else, even though he never wrestles. Makes all the wrestlers look bad. But at the end of the day, people tune in when he's on. It's a proven fact. Anytime Brock Lesnar shows up, sticks his head out of the dressing room, the ratings go up. And so they take a look at that and they say, look, he's drawn. Because people say, oh, tonight Brock Lesnar's on. Something big is going to happen. I'm going to watch. So that's what I mean, Mike, when I say drawing power.
Right, and here's something else to think about. Not only do they have drawing power in AEW, but they're developing it.
Yeah.
Sammy Guevara, developing drawing power, as is MJF, developing drawing power. I mean, those two guys' drawing power can only go up because that's how good they are. That's how charismatic they are, you know. And at one point, the WWE had a habit of picking the right guys that had that ability that nobody knew who they were, but at some point, you look at those guys and you say, that guy right there is going to draw, or that girl right there is going to draw. They had that ability to do that. They somehow lost it at some point recently.
I agree with that. I agree with you. Because you got to realize that one of their top draws ever of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin, was released from his contract by Eric Bischoff because they said, you don't really have any charisma. You're not really drawing any people. You're kind of vanilla plain. You're there, but yeah. Really? Well, gee, that turned around. Remember when Chris Jericho was cut loose because they said he's never going to be anything more than a mid-carder. That's what Kevin Nash said anyway. Never going to be anything more than a mid-carder. He doesn't really have what it takes. Really? Well, the WWE turned that around. Remember when WCW, they had The Undertaker, didn't they? They had Mark Callis. Don't know what to do with them. They had the Diamond Stud, which turned out to be Razor Ramon. Don't know what to do with them. They had Kevin Nash as Oz and Vinny Vegas and whatever. Didn't know what to do with them. WWE brings them in, bam, smash. Knows what to do with them, and suddenly they're the most charismatic people in the world, and people are flocking to see them because they feel like celebrities in a TV show. Feels like you're going to see a live Hollywood movie where all of the top good guys and bad guys are there and you can see them in person. And they're different and they're unique and they're not like you. And then came a new era where everybody said, no, I want them to be exactly like me. I want them to be 146 pounds soaking wet and 5'7". I don't want them to look any different than me. I don't want them to have a gimmick. I don't want them to have anything. I want them to be called John Brown and do 17 super kicks and 2 planches. And this is what ended up happening, folks. Wrestling became too inclusive. Did we get some good athletes out of it? Yes. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to sit here and tell you that athleticism is probably second or third on my list of what makes a great wrestler. Charisma, ability to draw, ability to sell your fight, ability to use the microphone, I'll take that. And if you're a lesser athlete, I'll take it. Ideally, it would be great if you could have all, but not that many people do. So now we're left with this. AEW has a roster of very solid wrestlers, and some with good drawing power. NXT has an incredibly solid roster, but not a ton of drawing power. Why do you think they don't go out on the road? You think they don't know it? AEW went out and said, we're going to sell out a 10,000-seat arena, and they did it. Do you think NXT selling out a 10,000-seat arena, unless it's the night before a pay-per-view, a major pay-per-view of the WWE, and people say, let's just do the 2-night package? No, they're not going to. Otherwise, NXT would be on the road. Otherwise, NXT would be hitting Madison Square Garden. NXT would be hitting the Philadelphia Spectrum. NXT would be hitting Nassau, whatever the Nassau Coliseum was named now. I don't even remember. NXT, or better, if they didn't think they could draw that much, they'd at least be hitting 3,000, 5,000-seat venues, no? They're not. So NXT's proven, yeah, we can pack one place, Full Sail Arena, with the same fans that come every goddamn week. There are club members. There are brotherhood. After a while, it gets to be just like, you know, the kid who says, I got 40 people to come to my concert, but 38 of them are family. So they kind of got to come. Well, that's kind of what it is here. These are the people, same people you see over and over again in the audience. And you're like, that's the same people. This is the same people. This is the same people that come every week. It's like a big cult. But now you've got to expand. because now you're in a major market and a TV audience, and there are people who don't know who Adam Cole is. There are people who don't know who Keith Lee is. There are people who don't know who these guys are. And you've got to take them out on the road a little bit and show them off, but you're afraid to do it because you're afraid that if you book a 3,000 or 2,000 seat venue and you don't sell it out, that's going to make the news. So I don't know what to tell you. I look at NXT and I say I'm highly entertained by the action. And some of these guys, I think, really do have charisma. Keith Lee has charisma. Adam Cole has charisma. So why aren't they reaching a wider audience with that charisma? Or are they just going to be a big fish in a small pond? That's what you have to really evaluate. Bo Dallas was a big fish in a small pond. When he was in NXT, everything he did worked. The crowd there loved it. He was a big fish in a small pond. When he became a small fish in a big pond, it didn't take. Rude. Bobby Rude, same way. He was a big fish in a small pond. Comes over here, not so much. That's what you have to be able to evaluate. Exactly the opposite. The Drifter was nobody. He was an NXT afterthought. Preliminary guy. But he had a little charisma. They said, let's see what happens in the WWE. Boom, Elias. And if they hadn't blown it, he'd be a top guy. So that goes to show you the stark difference. You're going to have to get yourself a hold of some people who can make people want to tune into that show. Or my feeling is AEW's ratings are just going to keep growing. Because the more you let them get a foothold with their storylines, the more you let them get a foothold with the characters that you want to follow, the harder it's going to be to get those fans to change the channel. Because they're going to get used to them, comfortable with them, and buy into the storylines enough to say, no, you know, it's almost like if you're watching The Walking Dead and you're like, you're in the middle of the season, or you're watching Game of Thrones and you're in the middle of the season, you're probably not going to tune out on a show to see some other show because you're like, well, no, I'm in the middle of this now. I got to see what happens. I'm not tuning out. That's what NXT faces if they wait too much longer, Mike. So I think they got to do this right away.
Right, and think about this. You know, we look at other things, other federations on Sundays and stuff. And I mean, you look at NWA Power, and you look, it's going to reach a point of being a thing. But you look at all those guys that are in that company. Aaron Stevens and Nick Aldis, they're all big fish in a small pond. Now,
right.
there's only going to be so much room for big fish in a small pond, but that's what they are in NWA Power right now. And a lot of these guys that were in ECW were the same way. I mean, look
yes.
at it. ECW early on, where were most of their shows taking place at? The ECW arena, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Right, so, and then halfway through that, you know, they started to go out on the road and start to develop that crowd, you know, start to develop the people who want to see that stuff. And coming down to the end, they were selling out 10,000 seat arenas at some points, you know. I mean, I remember going down to New Orleans at one point and watching ECW show, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you're going to take something mainstream, you've got to understand that it's got to appeal to a wider group of people. Right now, I'm looking at NXT as like death metal. Death metal appeals to a certain niche of people. And they love it. And they say, this is the greatest thing ever. And they'll come to the concert. And the concert's going to have 2,000 people, you know. But they're 2,000 loyal, faithful, hardcore, we love this music people. You're not getting on the top 40. You're not breaking through and playing, you know, Madison Square Garden. Not happening. Not unless you change and you become more accessible to more people. So if that's truly what the WWE wants, is to become more accessible in NXT to more people, you've got to change a little bit. Try not to lose the fans that you have. Sometimes you have to, but you got to be a little more accessible. And I think right now, it's a crucial time. It's very crucial. Because if they don't do it in the next month or two, I think it's going to be too late. Because again, AEW is going to be able to get that much stronger of a foothold, and they're going to say, well, we're not changing stations. We like this show. We're invested in the storylines. We're invested in the characters. Why should I switch over to see this? So you got to nail it now. Now, I'm not rooting for either one. If AEW dusts NXT, fine. I like AEW. If NXT somehow manages to dust AEW, fine. All it really means is somebody played their hand better. Somebody had their pulse better on what the fans want. Right now, AEW obviously has their finger on the pulse of the fans, or they wouldn't be destroying NXT in the ratings. This is an embarrassment for NXT. And if Triple H's answer is next week we're going to have five title matches, nobody cares. If they don't care about the champions, the title matches don't matter. The stipulations don't matter. 25 minutes of solid action don't matter because they're not watching it. You got to give them a reason to watch it first. See, back in the day, promoters knew this. Even the Federation I wrestled for knew it. And what they would do is, they'd have a brutal hardcore match. Usually I was in it. But they would hope that people would get there early to get a good seat for the brutal hardcore match. And then before you knew it, some of those same fans who only come to see the brutal hardcore match got hooked on other characters and started saying, I am kind of interested in what's going to happen here. Maybe I'll come a little earlier so I don't miss what happens with this character too. And then they could introduce another character and another storyline. And before you knew it, those fans were interested in all the storylines. And they were like, I got to come when it first starts because I'm sort of interested in everybody. And plus the cherry on the cake is we get a big, brutal hardcore match at the end. Okay, well, that's the problem. NXT, you're just delivering good match, good match, good match, good match. But what we need you to do is we need you to find a reason that people say, well, this match I have to watch. And then you have to put some matches before it that really suck those fans in. So they say, wait a minute. Now I'm kind of curious what's going to happen with these two people. I'm curious what's going to happen with this storyline. And before you know it, that's how you got fans. Simple as that. Anyway, folks, what are we going to see on SmackDown tonight? Well, I'm not 100% sure. What I do know is this. I think SmackDown has consistently been a little bit better than Raw. Probably because Fox is a very demanding, host, and they insist on having, quality type situations going on there at all times. I do think this. We have to see how this is going to play out with having two champions that are really sort of part-time. Brock Lesnar on Raw is around here and there, and The Fiend on SmackDown is around here and there. And if we're going to get on Brock Lesnar about, well, you don't defend the belt, well, you got to also say, what are you going to do with The Fiend now? You can't overexpose him. We've said that before. He can't be on every week, because if he is, he's going to get old quick, really quick. But you put the belt on him. So now I was never for putting the belt on him. I was never for giving him a title match. Just make him that guy who's just like, well, he's not a champion, but he don't lose. That's for sure. He don't lose much. Undertaker once said, I don't really like being the champion. It's better for me to just be that dark, mysterious, almost undefeatable type guy than it is to be the champion. And boy, he was so right. I think it was a mistake. As much as I love Bray Wyatt and I love The Fiend, I don't necessarily think he needs a belt. And now you've done that and you've painted yourself in a corner because you got two champions who are kind of like absentee champions, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, granted, I've said it before, that the sweater vest guy probably does need something like that, because we know what The Fiend is supposed to be, but the sweater vest guy is different. It's supposedly supposed to be different, you know.
Right.
So if they want to have him defend the title, I'll be all for that as a sweater vest guy, you know, as the Funhouse host, you know.
See, the one thing I don't like, though, Mike, and tell me what you think of this. I don't like the fact that the sweater vest wearing Bray Wyatt carries the belt around like it's his. I thought, and yeah, he talks about The Fiend in third person. Well, he's not done with Daniel Bryan yet. Uh-oh, he might be coming around. Shouldn't Bray Wyatt say, I'm holding his belt for him? Not, I'm defending it. Under no circumstance should Bray Wyatt ever defend that belt, because I think in his eyes it's not supposed to be him, no?
Right. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I just feel like if you're gonna make two characters for one guy, and basically we know that Bray Wyatt and The Fiend are one and the same, but if you're gonna make two characters for one guy, you're gonna have to make both characters mean something. You know,
I agree, but I just wouldn't give him the championship.
Right. Not The Fiend. Now, the sweater vest guy. Now, granted, I agree with you with the sweater vest guy. It should be his championship, not mine. I'm just holding it for him.
Right. Because how would you feel if, like, Cactus Jack won the championship and then Dude Love's defending it? You'd be like, well, how does this make any sense in any world? It doesn't. I don't like that. It's okay for Bray Wyatt to hold it and say, I'm holding it for him. But I don't think it's okay to say it's my belt. Because, Todd, I think that kind of spoils the illusion.
I was absolutely right there with Bray Wyatt and doing that Fiend character. Like you said, with Fiend, I don't think he don't need a championship belt. I think he's already over without a belt in the first place.
Absolutely is. And we'll see. I'm sure we're going to see the Usos. We'll see more of Morrison tonight and maybe figure out what's going on there. It could be a very interesting SmackDown. We will certainly talk about it on Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Oh, by the way, I do want to say this before we go. We got everybody's feedback on our show explaining the ins and outs of storytelling and good story writing in professional wrestling. And we'd asked the question, do you guys want to see more in-depth stuff on things such as how you call a match or how you book a face or how you make a successful heel? Or do you want to see more about how the hot dog is made? Or would you rather we just stick to our opinions on how things are going? And overwhelmingly you said, no, we want to hear more about how the hot dog is made. So we are going to do more of those shows in the future where we explain, you know, how to make a successful heel, how to make a successful baby face, how a good match is called now, as opposed to maybe 5-10 years ago when things were totally different. And we'll explain the ins and outs a little bit more wrestling from time to time. We'll do much more of those shows. So thanks to everybody who sent me in those, their thoughts on that, and we will see you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio. You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.